This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh boy, we are happy that the hurricane didn't come our way, but we did have a long weekend and we had a lot of thunderstorms. So those of you who sent me messages that you were sorry that I wasn't on Tuesday, it's because we had some power surges here and lightning strikes. And anyway, it's been a mess. And Big Ed in the control room has been working 24 hours a day to getting us back in online and all organized here. So I know that it was very nice to get your emails, and I'm happy that we're back online. We did have I've had a few more technical problems, but it's been interesting, and that's the fun of doing radio. There's always something exciting happening. I had on my schedule, some of you had seen, I sent out a message that I was going to have a wonderful police officer from Washington, D.C., Officer Ida Rodriguez, and she's going to be back. I'm going to get her back, reschedule her, because she is part of the National Geographic series of books called Doggy Defenders. And I'm just going to hold them up to the camera for all of you people who love dogs. These books are just delightful. And I just had Angela Hunt in here last week. And she, of course, is famous because she was actually on Regis and Kathy Lee because she had the largest dog in America. And and so she got a trip to New York to be with Regis and to bring her dog. But if you love dogs, and of course, Angela is also a dog photographer, so she will appreciate these books. They are, well, when I say National Geographic, you know that the photographs are going to be amazing. And Officer Rodriguez is particularly interesting. She is, of course, a dog trainer. She has a dog whose name is Tiger, and she is responsible in Washington for, you know, searching different areas to protect us. And she's a very interesting woman, and we're going to have her on in probably next. I'll try to get her on next week. And meanwhile, I also, at the bottom of the hour, I have Stephen S. Drachman coming on. And Stephen is a really somebody that you will want to listen to. One, his books are fascinating, and I'm really excited to talk to him about his books. They are like nothing else. I mean, he really mixes up the genre. He's it's lots of fun to read his books. But he's also the head of a wonderful publishing company, and called Chickadee Prints. And Chickadee Prints is accepting submissions in September. And it's September. Can you believe it? It's already September. The year's gone so quickly. And they do accept submissions directly from authors or agented authors. So your agent, if you have an agent, or if you want to submit it yourself, go to their webpage. It's called Chickadee Prints. And there's an area there where it's called submissions. And you can read what they're looking for. It's a very interesting company because Chickadee Prints is really, they're first of all, they are a real publishing company. They pay you in advance. It's not a major one like, you know, for one of the big publishing companies. But it's, you know, if you're out there and you want to get published, sometimes you have to start small and you work your way up. The interesting about this company, it is run by authors, and so that means they all love books, and it's your chance to try a different way to, you know, sometimes you're trying and trying to get an agent and you do query letters and it doesn't work. So sometimes it is nice to go to directly to a publisher who's open-minded and willing to work with you. You could try them. And of course, the other company that also takes submissions that you don't need an agent is Kensington Press. And of course, they have so many wonderful, wonderful books. And Carol J. Perry is published by Kensington. And she's going to be on the program on September 24th. I'm so excited to have her back on the program to talk about her latest release. Her last one was absolutely fantastic. You can find her books always at Barnes & Noble. And she's been very fortunate with Kensington. She has appeared many times on their end cap books. And so they're just doing a great job with her. And so it's going to be exciting to have her here back in the studio on September 24th. I want to just mention one thing again. Dave Chesson from Kindlepreneur was on, and I really am so impressed with Dave. And if you are writing, if you're starting to write, or if you are simply lost, I would love to hear from any of you who are having problems marketing your books, because you know everyone out there today, even the big New York Times best-selling authors, have to do their own marketing. I recently was interviewed somebody who wrote his own book and published his own book, and it's a great book, but he doesn't know what to do next, and this is a problem. And so I'm trying to put together several programs in the next few months with marketers and with PR people who can help you understand what you have to do to get your book out there. Because it's not enough to simply get it, you know, on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble website. They will just sit there. There are just too many books being published. Not too many books. I always want more books published. But there are so many listings. And unless you have a way to get yourself noticed, your book will just sit there. So I hope that, you know, what I want to do is, as I said, I'm going to bring in some people. One of them is Kim from L.A., and I have mentioned her publicity company before because she is just so good. She is Robert Crace's PR person, and he raves about her, and many other authors also rave about her. She's going to be on in a week, and so I'm looking for questions. If you have a question about PR, about marketing, about what you have to do to get out there and get noticed, send it to me, and I will run them by her because she's an expert. She deals with some of the, you know, really famous people in Hollywood. She does PR for not just for books, but also for celebrities. So she understands how to get noticed. And this is what you have to do. In the end, selling books is, you know, it's a business. You have to have your brand. Your name is your brand, or your series is your brand. So you want people to remember your name, or if you have a series, to remember your series, and so that it's something that all they have to do is hear your name, and they know what type of book you write, or you know something about you. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for you as an author to think of yourself, well, as any business, you have to make the effort, and it's hard work. You just look at any new business that opens up, whether it's a bagel store or a bakery or a cleaners or whatever. All of these people, they have to learn how to make themselves noticed. It's not enough just to put a sign in front of your store. There are ways that you get noticed. It is called branding. You have to brand yourself. And so I hope that if you send me questions, and I will try to get people in here. I'm going to have Barbara Powell from Irene Goodman, also Miriam Chris from Irene Goodman. They are two of the best agents in New York City. I know Irene Goodman herself is overwhelmed, and she runs the agency. She's not taking submissions, but both Miriam Chris and Barbara Powell take submissions. And as with all agents, it's absolutely essential that you go to the website. For example, Donald Moss is one of the biggest agents in New York City. He's an absolutely delightful person. He's been on the program several times. I enjoy talking to him, and I enjoy his attitude of, you know, being very open to new authors. One of my favorite authors is Nikki Drayden. And, you know, I discovered her just through her little short stories, which I thought were delightful. And then he discovered her, you know, when she made a submission. And this is one thing nice, too, that she had already self-published a series of short stories. And it really gave Donald and other people the opportunity to see her quality of writing. So sometimes, again, it's all part of how you are going to make a name for yourself. And she made a little bit of a splash just by self-publishing some really clever short stories. And you can do it too, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to take a short break. I want to do a book buzz from Rita Moreau, our Radio Rita.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery. Hey, what if the person you thought you knew best turns out to be someone you never knew at all? And what if that person was your mother? Yikes! In Pieces of Her, Book 18 by Karen Slaughter, those questions are explored. Here's the buzz. Andrea knows everything about her mother, Laura, because we all know our mothers, don't we? So after her mother, a seemingly mild-mannered woman, stops a killer during a mall shooting, Andrea discovers that her mother has a secret identity. Because it turns out that before Laura was Laura, she was someone completely different. For nearly 30 years, she's been hiding from her previous identity, lying low in the hope that no one would ever find her. But now she's been exposed, and nothing will ever be the same again. Wowzer! Karen Slaughter is an American crime writer whose first novel, Blindsided, became an international success, was published in almost 30 languages, and made the Crime Writers Association's Dagger Award shortlist for Best Thriller Debut of 2001. One well-known author put it this way: "Enter the world of Karen Slaughter. Just be forewarned, there's no going back." I'll say no more and let you decide by reading Pieces of Her by Karen Slaughter, one of the world's most popular and acclaimed storytellers. Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more on my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's Radio-Joy on Paper. Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
Yes, I know.
This is the Tantalk.
Okay. Before we go to commercial break, I just want to mention one more thing about agents. It is so important, as I said, that you go to the agency's website and check out an agent before you make a submission. And one of the agents that I want to recommend is Tara. Her name is Tara Gelsomino, and she is from One Track Literary, and she just was involved in a wonderful three-house auction for a romance trilogy. Now, you know, sometimes you think, well, is there a big market for romance? Yes, and there's a market for a romance trilogy, and Joanna Ruocco, who is the author, but she actually uses a pen name called Joanna Lowell. got a six-figure deal for a trilogy, a romance trilogy, and it's going to be exciting. It's set in Victorian-era London, and the nice thing is that, as I said, One Track Literary Agency is often mentioned in Publishers Weekly, and that's where you can find out about which agencies are really busy and which agents in those agencies are really busy. It's up to you to do your homework before you make a submission. You can't just send, you know, your query letters just to anybody. You make sure that the person that you are querying is somebody who is interested in what you want. Because if you're writing sci-fi, you don't want to send it to somebody who's only interested in, you know, sports books or memoirs. So it's up to you to check that. And Publishers Weekly is really the best. And it's every single week of the year, 52 weeks of the year, they have the weekly book deals. And this is where you have to find your agent, somebody who's active and somebody who loves books. Now, I'm going to take a commercial break, and when I come back, I'm just waiting for a call-in from Stephen Druckman, and we're going to be talking about his wonderful series, What O'Hugh. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read, if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for a call from Stephen S. Druckman, and he is the head of Chickadee Prince Publishing, and we are going to be talking to him today about his series of books called What O'Hugh, and they're interesting. They're fascinating books. I love time travel books. I've always loved time travel. We all wish, you know, that there are times we'd like to go back in time, and I'm not sure about going forward in time, but in this case, Steve has everything. It's up and it's back and forth, and it's really exciting how he manages to create a series of page-turning books that are... I really don't think there's anybody else who writes like him. He's really quite incredible. So he's going to be on, and then we're going to be... I want to mention again one other thing about, I started to mention about Kindlepreneur. Please go to Kindlepreneur. This is Dave Chesson's website. There are so many subjects that you will want to learn about as you're working and trying to sell your books. And one of them is, he has all the sections on, you know, on what to write and how to get things out there. But I found one of his suggestions is about subtitles. And there's an entire chapter there about subtitles. He also has a lot of free information, free videos on how to do ads, how to just all the things that you need to market your book. So I highly recommend it. He's always working. He's a fascinating guy. He's always looking for ways to help authors. He flew out to Sri Lanka where he's working with programmers to help find all the ways that he can help authors learn about publishing, about marketing. So I really appreciate that he was on the program the other week, and I hope that you will check out his site. And as with all of these sites, I particularly want to say for him, one of the things that he sells on his site, and it's called Scribner, and this is the writing program that I recommend. You can, of course, just type in Scribner and buy Scribner directly from Amazon or from any of those places. But it's really a nice thing to do to go to his website and buy it through his website, because he gets, you know, a few dollars. But with the number of people that he helps, I think it's a really a kind thing to do. So I know that I mentioned Scribner quite often. Angela Hunt, who was on here, because she writes really massive historical works where she has so many names and so many things that she has to keep track of. And she uses Scribner because it is a program that you just organize. It's a program where you organize all of your work. And the nice thing is you can use it so that you can immediately, chapter by chapter, actually, whenever you want, create yourself an EPUB version so you can read it on your tablet or iPad or whatever, wherever you read your books. And it's called Scrivener, but if you're going to buy it, go to Kindlepreneur website and buy it from there. And it's very, very inexpensive, and Dave gets a few dollars. And that's he doesn't charge for anything else, so it's really, really a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think you will particularly find this series on subtitles fascinating. So I hope you'll go there. And I think I just in a minute I'm going to be talking to an author. His work is so amazing. Well, he's an amazing guy himself. I just it's wonderful the work that he's doing to support authors and to just promote writing. And so I'm really thrilled to welcome to the program Stephen S. Drachman. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you?
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you, because you are an incredible writer.
Thank you.
It's so funny. I will put these little sticky markers in a book so I can find a page that I want to talk about it. Then I was doing that, and I'm, you know, with your books, and then after a while I realized there aren't enough sticky markers. Okay, well, I'm going to put something on every page. And your series, you have to tell us about it, about What O'Hugh. And yes, the entire series. I'm holding up, you know, we're also on YouTube, so I'm holding up the books because the covers are quite, really, they are so distinctive and just so much fun to look at. And
thank you so much. Yeah, the artist is a guy I've known many years named Mark Macho. He's a very good, well-known illustrator. But he got a lot of attention for these, which was great.
Well, he has captured the entire series so beautifully. Each cover they're distinctive. You know what you're going to get when you get these books, and it's just beautiful. So tell us about What O'Hugh, because people have read it and they say, well, we don't know what's the genre. It's sci-fi, it's Western, it's cowboys, it's this, it's that. And it is. You've mixed up so many things and done it so seamlessly and beautifully. It is a joy to read.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, I mean, at its basic, it's historical fantasy novels. The character is, from New York, who's gotten himself in some trouble during the protests against the war, and flees. He fights in the Civil War. It becomes, runs a cattle drive, and then becomes kind of, he doesn't think correctly, becomes one of these dime novel heroes. So he becomes somewhat well known, and then is framed for murder and becomes a fugitive. Along the way, there are various fantastical elements. He's a time roamer. He's taught that by a woman he knows in his Wild West show, how to roam time. It's a little different from time travel. But along the way, there's this kind of shadowy movement that is a new secessionist utopian movement that is not what it seems, and he winds up caught up in that. In that kind of a counter-revolutionary in that whole conspiracy, and that's one of the plot elements that drives the trilogy. Did I make it sound good?
Yes.
All
and
right,
it,
right, good.
There are just so many things in this book. What I love, of course, for me, I love history. The period is fascinating. Hugh was born in 1842, right? So we have all,
I think that's right. Yeah,
we have all those years that we're going back there in time, and we're, I like that you have the historical characters that you mention, because we hear the names, and then when you include them in the story, they become memorable. They really do. You bring the personalities out, and so many things. Of course, I think you've done enormous amount of research, because I was one of the things that I really loved when as you mentioned, that he does a Wild West show and in the Hippodrome, and I had always been fascinated with the idea of the Hippodrome. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, this is fascinating, and you really make the story, bring it in so beautifully that I could actually visualize it.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I, and this is one of the things about the book, that one of the reasons why it took so long to write, each of them took a really long time to write, because I didn't really want to just have somebody, he appears at some big stadium. I wanted it to be a real one, and the Hippodrome, and this was the first Hippodrome. There was a second one a few years later. That was the perfect place for it. Similarly, there's a shootout in the second book in San Francisco, and I found, the best building. There was a huge palatial bank building in San Francisco. I've forgotten the name of it, but it no longer exists. And in order to do the shootout within the building accurately, I had to get plans. I had to get the architectural plans of the building. There's also a scene in Yuma in the third book where I wanted to be sure, if there's a chase over the rooftops of Yuma, that these were real rooftops that would have been there at the time. So that takes a lot of work. It's not, easily available. You have to find people who know such things and, who can provide you with the information. But I think, you get the sense then that this is something that is accurate to the time, and to the extent I took any liberties with it, I'll explain that in the author's note in the back. So I hope that adds to it. It adds to, because I'm putting in things which are fantastic, adding the fantasy elements. And if you add fantasy elements to a world which is otherwise 100% accurate, then I hope that makes it more interesting and intriguing.
Well, I think it does. And as I found myself, I read a lot of books, historical books, but in your book, I really found myself in New York City, in I I so enjoyed when you're writing about New York City and about, you know, even sitting under the stars, and I'm thinking, it's so, you know, so close to, and you couldn't do that today. That, you know, with, it was dark, just 20 blocks away from downtown. It was, you could sit out and look at the stars, and I think you made all that come alive with your writing.
Oh, thank you. Well, who wouldn't want to go visit New York City in the 1870s?
I know.
What a great period of time. So I got to, in a way, feel like I was visiting these places. In the third book, I have a couple of chapters set in Sharon Springs, New York, which was a, you know, incredibly elegant resort town in the 1880s, which, you know, it's a nice little town now, but what made it an elegant resort town is completely gone. So it was nice to visit that place. It was also a place my family, my grandfather, when he was a boy, used to go at the turn of the 20th century every summer. So I grew up hearing about it, but it was not a place you could visit. So I like to be able to feel like we can all visit vicariously through Watt.
Well, you do. You, with your writing, it's very visual, and you take us to these places. And one of the things is, of course, it is true that after the Civil War, there were quite a few movements of people trying to establish utopian type of communities, shared communities, that most people don't, everybody thinks that there were sort of, it was the hippies of the 1960s who had communes and things, but they were, they existed long time before that.
Right, this is true, and you know, these things, they come and they go and they don't succeed, and you can debate why. People are people, wherever you put them. And, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, people are not 100% good. So, and that's one of the things, one of the characters in this book, you know, the mysterious Billy Golden is always hoping that he can somehow, you know, affect the history of the world to make it better. They look at kind of moments in history when, you know, human beings could have actually, you know, righted the ship, and why did it go wrong? So when you're, you know, he is an actual time traveler who's able to impact the future and the past, which puts a big responsibility on his shoulders. The rest of us can only dream of becoming roamers, visiting places, but not affecting it, not leaving footprints.
Now, one of the aspects, of course, is the China. How did China get involved?
Yeah, you know, boy, it's been such a long time since I started writing this. The history of China was from I took an ancient Chinese history course in college years and years ago, taught by a guy named Professor Hans Bielenstein, who, you know, he's one of the people the third book is dedicated to the memory of, and you know, he made that period come alive, and so I was able to take a lot of what I learned from him and use it for the book. Although you can't blame him for things that I got wrong, but I think that's where my interest in this came from. And there's just so many stories, so many pieces of history that you can play with, that it seemed like a really just a rich rich tapestry to take from.
Now, as you said, it took you how many years altogether to write this?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, many, many, many years. The first book has an interesting history, but I put it to one side for a lot of years, and then picked it up. The funny thing was I'd finished about half of it and then put it away for more than 10 years. And then I had this, I had a terrible health scare. Actually, I got falsely diagnosed with just something awful that I won't get into, but it turned out to be completely wrong. And within 3 days, they said, no, you're fine. But during those 3 days, what occurred to me was, oh boy, well, if I don't have much time left,
wow.
I better finish that book. And then when it turned out I was okay, I thought, well, if that's, you know, one of the first things that pops into my head if you're given a terrible medical diagnosis is I better finish that book, then maybe I better finish that book. So that's how I turned back to it.
And that spurred you into action, and you went... You went all over the place here.
That's right.
You know, I always liked sci-fi, but it wasn't until I read Carolyn Hart. She's a cozy mystery writer. And in her mysteries, she would always talk about other authors. And one of the authors she talked about was Mike Resnick. And that's how I found Mike Resnick, who, of course, has won so many Hugo Awards and so many sci-fi awards. But he also wrote books, sometimes set in other places, you know, sci-fi, but set in, Florence, Italy, or set in the West, or set in Africa. So they were sci-fi in the sense that they had this fantasy, they had roamers or time travelers. And I think it makes it so interesting because it is in a way it's a way to learn history.
Right, that's right.
Because
yeah, and it forces you at my age, right? I'm not going to be forced to learn history, sit down and research things and really learn it unless I'm writing about it. So
well, the nice thing about you know having books in these days when people come across a name. They hear about you know something that you write in your book. They now can go and check it out on the internet and see did that really happen? You know, sometimes people
right,
say,
that's right.
Was it really a hippodrome? Was it really Astor? Was he a real person? And so it's fascinating how a book can turn people who might not normally do research into a subject. Well, actually, it spurs them on to learn more.
Right, right. Well, that's very good, and I hope that is the case. A lot of what's in my books are things. It's funny. There's a lot of stuff that you cannot find on the internet. So a lot of things took a lot more research than just being able to Google something. You feel like everything's out there, but everything isn't out there. At a certain point in book two, I there's a train robbery, right? We've all seen train robberies on television, and so I got out a bunch of movies and took a look at what the train robberies were like, and didn't seem like when you watch these, it didn't seem really like these train robberies would work or that they were planned out and so on. So I thought there must be something more to this. And so I started researching the train robberies of the 19th century. And I, found a guy who was a train robbery expert and interviewed him for the book. There were, in fact, different methods of train robberies. There was one, if I recall this correctly, that the Chapman method, which was invented by a former Sunday school teacher, that is the least likely to result in any deaths. A lot of the train robbery methods inevitably had people killed, and the Chapman method didn't. And so these are things that you'll come across that are real and true, but not necessarily right there on the internet. So
but it's fun to find these experts. There are experts in all sorts. Everything that you want to write about, you can find an expert. If you want thimbles in a story, there are people who know thimbles that it just makes you crazy that they know so much. I mean, they can just tell you exactly what year a certain thimble was made. And isn't that's part of the, when I write about, you know, I call my program Joy on Paper because it's the joy of getting your words on paper, but it's also the joy of this research. I love the research part.
That's right. That's right. I do too. And, you know, even if the books had never seen print, that part of it would have been, would have made it worthwhile. But happily they've seen print and people are reading them. So, it's good all around.
Well, it is. And I, for me, you know, being very visual, and having, you know, written scripts, I get these books that I see them so visually as a, you know, as a film in my head. Sometimes I have to stop and say, well, did I really see that? Like, it's just a simple little thing, like something I had never thought about. It's on the cattle drive. And let's just, I can't say the word, but I yeah. had never thought of the point of view from the you know, cowboy riding the horse, that the ground might be slippery for a certain reason. It never occurred to me. I mean, it was so funny when I got to that part. And I said, yeah, that's probably exactly what happens. You know,
that's right. Yeah, and I did a lot of work in how one would actually go through a cattle drive, the way, you know, the different drag riders and so on, the different parts of a cattle drive. And it really, boy, you think of the romance of the Old West, something, you know, very few people would be able to stand today.
Oh, well, and it's exactly something like that, that anybody who reads your book, once they read about the cattle drive, I didn't know about the different positions, the different people. And I never thought about the poor guy following that whole bunch of cattle. It never occurred to me. But now that you wrote about it so clearly, very clearly, it's something
now
that
you'll never forget it.
No, I'll never forget. And
unfortunately.
Yeah. And I'm not going on a cattle. If I ever go on a cattle drive, I'm not going to be in that position. I'm the one following, but it was so funny, and it's little things like that make a book so good, and that's why I think as people are reading your book, they'll say, I didn't know that, and all of these little things, you know, whether it's about particularly I think the West, as so many of us don't know too much about the West. And I found that you really did you spend a lot of time in the West, or is this all through research?
No. Well, I've spent, you know, the same amount of time as anyone who travels, a moderate amount. I've been out to Utah and Nevada and New Mexico and so on when I was younger. After the first book came out, I did a reading, you know, I think the Wyoming penitentiary where Watt gets locked up. I went and did a reading there. It's now a museum, and I had not seen it before writing the book. I had done research on it and talked to people who were experts about it, and so I went around and got a tour and got to see. It's funny. I went and saw Watt's cell. I mean, it was very funny. The cell number, which I chose, you know, this was a part of the book that I wrote before I took the 10-year break. So I really didn't remember much of how I had done the research or how I had chosen the cell number, but I'm getting a tour around the penitentiary, and we come to his cell. There it is. I take a picture of it, and it felt like you know, it felt like the place that he was really locked up.
Well, this is so much fun, and it's like the part about the hippodrome. I don't think anybody who, you know, or very few people, except those of us who have read a lot of history of New York or anything, will know about that, or that there was a place where you could, they could do this kind of big show, and bring in, you know, and I love the explain his show and why it was different from other shows.
Why it was different? Well, the thing that he gets in some trouble about, there's some protests in the papers and so on, is that he doesn't dramatize the myths of the valiant white man fighting the barbarian Indians, right? So he doesn't do that, and you know, so he seems to be very forward looking at the time. But it's just him, you know, expressing the reality of the West as he saw it. So that's the thing that made it different from the other shows at the time and made it controversial. I think that's what you're
yes,
getting at.
Yes, exactly. Also, and that he included African-American cowboys. And,
yep.
And having lived in Texas a long time, of course, I got to see many. There are many, you know, African-American cowboys. And it's always wonderful in Texas when they come out riding and, you know, and they're related, you know, all the way back to the 1800s, after the Civil War or even before the
That's
Civil
exactly
War.
That's exactly right.
There were black...
It was not...
Yeah, there were black cowboys.
Right. You would not discriminate against somebody on that basis. And so it was really quite common for it to be colorblind, and that was just, you know, he's looking for the best shootists and the best lassoers and so on for his show, and he hired the people that he knew from out there, and that was a controversial approach. Although he didn't think it would be controversial, he didn't do it to be groundbreaking. So it came as sort of a surprise to him, but he's happy looking back on it years later
that he
seems to be so ahead of his time.
Yeah, I thought that was a great scene. Well, there are so many great
Thank
scenes
you.
In the.
Thank you.
Let's just say, you know, anybody, you know, people sometimes say, well, I only read this type of mystery, I only read thrillers, I only read, you know, pure sci-fi or whatever. Believe me. All of you out there, you will find these books absolutely delightful. Because there is something I think you covered just about every genre, but it's just and because there is romance, there's drama, there's everything in these books, and every few pages you're into something else, and absolutely the research is great. The writing is great, and if there's anybody out there who wants to make a really interesting film, they should do this. This would be really fun. This would be such
Thank
a.
Thank you.
I think this would be such a fun film, or one of those little six mini series things on streaming video. But yeah. I do want to say so it's Stephen. Your name is Stephen S. Drachman, and the name of the books are What O'Hugh.
Yes.
We have The Ghosts of Wat O'Hugh. We have Underground. They're distinctive covers. Once you get one, you'll want all three. And I have to let you go. Let's just mention Chickadee Prince. And it's a wonderful, wonderful group that you guys have set up there in Brooklyn, right?
In Brooklyn, but there are authors all over all over the country. Yeah, I hope getting good and interesting and acclaimed books out to the world. So I know you've interviewed a couple of people from the publishing house, and so we appreciate all of your support. It's
you have quality writers. You know, that's the important thing. I'm always looking for quality. It's so funny. You know, this is my own program, so I can interview anybody I want, and it's wonderful that you know, you have such a wonderful lineup of authors, and your really a smart and clever firm, I think. And this is important. And you're starting to make your mark, and that's wonderful with award winning books and of
thank
course.
Thank you very much. And if I can give a little
yeah, sure.
I've got a reading at the Bethesda Writer Center here in Bethesda, Maryland tonight. Granville Waitch Burgess, who I know you've interviewed, is also reading. He has a new book out, and he's making an appearance with me, and also John Dedakis, who's not a Chickadee Prince author, but a crime writer. And then we have on the 19th of September a pop-up bookstore in Manhattan where I'll be reading from Watto Hugh, and Granville will also be reading, and other Chickadee Prince authors will be making appearances and signing books. So that's on the 19th in Manhattan at the Chickadee Prince bookstore in the Refinery Hotel on 38th Street.
Okay, so. And people can go to chickadeeprince.com and find out all this information, upcoming events, your books, your contact information about your bookstore, and it's called Chickadee Prince. I love that name. Okay, and
thank you.
And Stephen, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Your books are a joy, and I'm just wish you the best of luck with all of this, and I will encourage everyone to try out these books, because once you start, you won't be able to stop. Okay?
Oh, thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Steve. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, that's what I tell you. You know, this hippodrome that was there in the old days, it was so big, they could bring in, you know, like a whole herd of cattle and horses, and it was quite amazing. And it's funny that, you know, it's gone. And I guess we have more intimate things now in New York, but it's a fascinating read. His books are filled with all of this little things that you probably don't know about, and that you will just love to learn about. Again, it's Watto Hugh. And wonderful, wonderful books. I want to again say thank you again for all of your emails about not being on Tuesday. And also, please send in your questions about marketing and publicity, because I'm going to have Kim from LA, one of the top publicists in America, and she's going to be here on Joy on Paper. So, meanwhile, remember what I always tell you, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, a major film, or if you're lucky, maybe a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, but you have to try, and you have to start writing. A page a day, and you will have a book. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed. Thank you, Ed, for everything. I know you had a crazy long weekend, and I'm glad things are starting to get organized again. And now he's smiling, and he's saluting me, and I salute him. And he needs to get a award. We need to pin a medal on him. He's such a great guy. Okay, bye-bye now.